Hi, I'm Sophia.
Hi, I'm Joyce.
And welcome to a special episode of Witches Betwixt. Scott and Jay couldn't be with us tonight for personal reasons, so we have brought in the lovely Joyce. Joyce, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hey guys, so I know, another new face in the mix. Crazy, right? But that's how it works. I'm sure if some of you have been tuning along for the past couple of episodes, Jay has mentioned me. I am Jay's partner in all things witchy and queer and fun and everything. Me personally, I will say I am a witchlet in all sense of the words.
Witchlet.
Raised, yes. Raised very devout Catholic. Went to Catholic school for 16 years, including Catholic University. Yes.
I'm sorry.
It's all good. It's all good. Funny enough, Catholic University is actually where I met Jay.
And
that was, holy moly, 10 years ago, almost.
Damn.
Yeah. We met in 2009, actually. But funny enough, I've only been in a relationship for the past 7 months now. But
sometimes relationships be like that, you know?
Yeah.
They just kind of sneak up out of nowhere, and it's like, oh, hi, I guess, yeah. Okay, this makes sense.
Most definitely. It was definitely, we talk about it all the time, how it was completely neither of us with all of our senses, whatever, could have ever predicted back in 2009, 2010, that in 2018, almost 2019, we are where we are. But I guess that kind of fits in with the theme that even if you try to see what the future holds, sometimes it's just like, wow, this is random, but hey, it works.
So controversial take is somebody who's offering divination through this series. I personally don't like any divination of any sort to be done for me because I don't like the future being told about me because I don't like giving away that power, and I'm all about, no, this is my shit and I'm under control of it and I'm not here for any of that.
Of course. Exactly. It's like that old adage that, what's that old adage? Like, you don't like shit where you eat or something like that. It's just like, no, I'll do this for other people, but myself, no.
I think it's, manure helps the flowers grow, but you take off your sandals before you enter the house.
There you go. That is much more appropriate. Much more appropriate.
But, so how did you get into magical practice?
Honestly, as I said, I am so fresh to this whole thing. I've only, I can't even call it, I guess you could call it, very initial dabbling.
Okay.
In that I don't even have an altar set up yet. That's something that I still need to do. I haven't done, that was funny. We were discussing off camera with the other members of an initiation ceremony. I haven't even done anything like that. My experience is pretty limited to, actually, just recently, within the past, week, 2 weeks, Jay actually made me hot foot powder for an issue that I am dealing with at my workplace.
Why is it like that? Can I just say, hot foot powder and workplaces are so fucking intermingled at this point. I can't even, I'm shocked. I go to an hot foot powder sold out and I'm like, what? And there's one vial left and I'm like, okay, well, you know what, maybe I won't curse the bitch. And then I go back a week later and it's gone and I'm like, shit, this stuff's like cocaine for the magical community. Christ.
For reals. Oh, and I'm so grateful I still have Jay made a crap ton of it and I still have a vial and a half sitting in my purse. But, so yeah, he made that for, I wasn't involved in the creation of it, but obviously I was involved with the laying of it and the, casting of it or whatever. I'm still not even familiar with the terminology. But, that was really, and then I guess you could also say maybe not so much me directly involved with it, but I guess you could say, as a beneficiary of, magical workings is, very early on in, me and Jay's relationship. And I know he mentioned this in the podcast, and I guess this is another view for you guys. He made me a charm for my vehicle. I commute, I guess a little bit of background. I work on the railroad. And I commute every single day, driving back and forth, back and forth. I drive a lot, and I live down here in a different state, actually. So I'm in my vehicle a lot, and he made this charm for me, and I put it, it's still there hanging in the, in my rearview mirror, three cat whiskers and a little jar, hanging from a green string. And funny, I guess you could say funny enough, or maybe not so funny enough, I would say maybe not even like a couple of weeks, maybe not even a month after he made that and gave it to me, I was actually involved in a motor vehicle accident. I was leaving my home to go to work, and through all the fault of my own, you won't hear many people say that, I almost T-boned a poor woman because I wasn't paying attention. Words of wisdom to everybody. Please pay attention when you're driving and don't be like rushing and thinking of a million different things. But in actuality, everything turned out way better than like the outcome was so much more positive than what it could have been. I've been in actually a major accident before, like totaled my car in the hospital. Major accidents before. And this was, we were both fine. None of us came to harm. My vehicle got banged up a little bit, but nothing beyond fixing. Same with her vehicle. And actually the funniest thing is she was driving a Jeep. And that's Jay's favorite vehicle in the world. We're like, oh my God, cute Jeep. All the time. And her vehicle was fine. She was fine. Everything went over smoothly. I haven't been sued. Granted, she still has time if she wants to, but I don't think she will. Let's not manifest that. Let's not put that out in the universe. Exactly. So, and at first, I will be completely honest, right after the accident happened, Jay was the first person I called just because I was very shook up and all that. And he was the first person I called. And the one of the first things I said was like, well, I guess the charm didn't work. And now that was in May. So now we're in November. So that was 6 months ago. I look back and I'm like, actually, it probably worked exactly as intended and as well as he intended it to be, because it could have, and I could have severely injured her because I could have literally T-boned the side of her car. Like I could have hit her straight on, and it worked out that she sped up. And so I just hit her wheel well and really didn't cause, as I said, no minimal damage to her car and no damage to the woman driving herself. So I look back and I'm like, thank God he made that charm for me. I was like, or it could have ended up way worse. I could have not had my seatbelt on and gone flying out the windshield. Who knows what could have happened in that situation?
I mean, I suppose, yeah. Definitely.
Exactly. So in that way, long ranting story, short point, I guess in that sense I was a beneficiary of other people's magic, not so much my own. But yeah, other than that, that's basically my experience.
Okay. So like, are you reading any books or?
I have been actually, I guess, doing my own little research, more so, like, online, like, Googling and stuff like that, watching YouTube videos, and things along that nature. I haven't actually gone out and purchased any books myself. Funny story, actually, years and years and years ago, when I met Jay, I was actually in a relationship with somebody else. And he reached out to Jay and borrowed a book on, at that time, like Wiccan beliefs, because that's okay. Kind of what Jay was in at that time, in his life. And I actually, my partner at the time, he was the one that borrowed it and wanted to read it. I kind of wound up flipping through it as well. And funny enough, held on to that book this entire time. Like, I made sure that when me and obviously now my ex, I was like, I'm taking this. This belongs to my friend. You're not keeping it. And mm-hmm. I held on to it all those years. And then me and Jay got, like, reconnected and started talking again. And I was like, the first time he came over to my place, I was just like, I have your book. Like, and he just couldn't believe that I held on to it for like, seriously, like 8 years, 7 years. I held on to this book of his.
Probably give that one a read through if you hung on to it for that long.
Yeah. Right. Yes, exactly. So I haven't, other than that, I haven't done a lot of, I guess you could say, research, other than, like, Googling, like initiation rites and just different stuff like that, I guess you could say.
Okay.
As I said, I'm very green.
So, like, one thing I'd like to say is try not to worry, and this is just, like, my two cents, try not to worry too much about initiation, because mm-hmm. it means so many different things to so many different people of different backgrounds. We've, talked about having an entire episode where we just talk about initiation and what it means to everybody. But for example, some traditions that are asymmetrical require self-initiation, where you do a ritual and you, I'm not going to go into it because it's not necessarily my tradition, but like you do a ritual, something happens in that space and you have the experience that allots for you to become initiated, right? Now, you could be initiated into, say, like, hermetic wisdom if you study Kabbalah, or, say, like, hermetic magic systems like the Golden Dawn or what have you. Because God knows there's a lot of them that I could just name off, and a lot of them are tied to, like, Crowley and chaos magic. And in case you can't guess, I kind of have done a lot of chaos magic. So, like, I think the most important thing is to just look for what clicks with you. Because, like, mm-hmm. it's going to change throughout your journey. It's going to start one thing, it's going to be another, you know. I started with, like, really fringe occult chaos magic groups. I've been really avoiding naming it, but I guess I could say it's DKMU. There you go. The secret's out. Nothing crazy. Yeah, I found their video, The Media Magician, on YouTube, and it just blew my mind, and I, like, just fucking was the rabbit down the rabbit hole, and I pursued that shit. And I kind of got into hermetic study after that. Like, was learning from people definitely outside of that group. And then I moved over to, like, doing traditional Wicca now. So, like, I'm not Wicca, actually. Traditional witchcraft. I don't know why I said Wicca. I'm not a Wiccan in any way. But
it's very easy to get the two confused.
There's nothing wrong with Wicca at all. I will say that. I'm not somebody who's going to have, like, a hierarchical judgment about what craft is valid. All crafts are valid as long as, you know, you're not being appropriative and you're not hurting people. What you're doing, in my eyes, is fine as long as it's done with respect and care, you know?
Of course.
And, like, just find what works for you. You don't even worry about initiation until you, like, you feel your path and you're on it and you're like, this is me, you know, and you'll have those epiphanies. You just kind of got to, like, search.
So, exactly.
Like, is there anything that kind of, like, kind of reaches out and grabs you right now?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Really, I guess what I could say, obviously Jay has had a very, significant influence, in my awakening, or whatever you want to call it, my my life, really, and just in general and period. And I've realized through talking with him and meeting Scott and meeting Scott's partner and obviously meeting you and people of people practicing witchcraft and everything like that, I've come to realize that Jay always joked about he has a running witch list for me. Because as I said, I was, to give you a little bit of background, as I said, I was raised devout Catholic, was baptized, communion, was confirmed in the church, and all of that, and my holy family, we're Italian, I'm Italian-Irish, so I come from Irish Catholics and Italian Catholics, the two biggest groups of Catholics, there is, and, that stuff was obviously always never talked about. It was always, like, written off as Satan worship and that whole nine yards, and I guess growing up in that message was kind of drilled into my, I guess you could say, even brainwashed to thinking like that. And it wasn't until, I guess I would say, like high school and even really a little bit past high school that I started not acknowledging but seeing things outside of the realm of Catholicism. And obviously, to give a little bit more background, being I came out as queer. Well, came out initially as lesbian when I was 12. Catholicism didn't really mesh with me. And it was just, and also my mother is a lesbian as well, and it was just like,
that's interesting.
Yes. And it's just like, this doesn't seem like it's the thing for me, my particular choice of faith. Being brought up in that, I was told to, like, certain things that I experienced growing up were just explained away. And then through meeting all these different people practicing witchcraft, I realized a lot of events in my life growing up can be attributed, I guess, to being attuned to those kinds of different things. I have always, I guess you can call it, have been more attuned or more open to all things. I don't like the term supernatural, but that's kind of the term that a lot of people associate with it. Spirits and, senses and certain things that I was always just attracted to. And through these past couple of months, I've realized I'm like, oh, this thing I did and this thing I did and this thing and all these different things that I've been doing. And I'm like, that's all witchcraft. All of those.
It's shocking like, how much there actually is of that when you go back and examine your life, you know?
Yeah. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. I remember we were, I volunteered at Philadelphia Pagan Pride Day to help Jay out, and, we're walking through the vendors and everything, and obviously there's a large, like, crystal assortment and everything like that, and I was like, wow, that makes sense, because from, I can remember, like, my earliest memories being maybe, like, God, 5, 6 years old, something like that, maybe even younger than that, and having an utter fascination and just this intense obsession, really, I guess you could call it, with crystals and rocks and nature and everything like that, and just, and I didn't even, obviously, I didn't realize back then what I was doing, like what had, started this interest or whatever. Another example, is I always found it extremely, calming to go out into nature and to just observe things and not, and just be able, like, that was, like, the one time, like, I could breathe and just, because yeah. I was raised in the city and just was always surrounded by the constant hustle and bustle of the city. And just being able to escape into nature was just such a huge relief to me. You could always find me, like, climbing trees and stuff like that, or, like, catching, like, friggin', like, newts out of, like, out of the local creek and stuff.
While that's still on the topic, can I share something on that point?
Of course.
I went for a walk in a graveyard today, completely out of nowhere. I was just, like, literally taking a different transit route home, and it led me right next to this graveyard that's the closest one to my house. Now, I don't know why, but anytime I move to a city, I have a habit of always ending up very near a graveyard, always within walking distance. My hometown, I was quite close to swamps and graveyards very often, but let's not get into that. But I just kind of stumbled upon it, and I saw it was open. And last time I went by to go visit it, it was on Samhain. And, of course, they're closed on Halloween night because they don't want people going around doing stupid shit in a cemetery and, like, breaking stuff and being disrespectful. And I walked through this place just expecting to make a short trip. You know, I walked, like, I was thinking, oh, I'm going to get far enough just to get this graveyard dirt, and then I'm out of here and no one's going to see me, you know? But as I walked, I just kind of, like, felt this feeling I hadn't had in a while. And it was like being in the right place for a change instead of being in the wrong place. Mm-hmm. And I kept walking, and I started checking out graves and getting invested in them and checking out the trees. And next thing you know, I'm walking all the way through this whole goddamn graveyard, and they fucking completely stopped doing what I was going for before. And I haven't even grabbed any graveyard dirt yet, and I'm, like, starting to take some, but, like, I don't have any bags, so I'm literally dumping graveyard dirt into my front pocket of my purse, which I'm washing now, just, like, dumping it in there, because I don't have bags, and it's all I can do. But, like, at the same time, I'm, like, feeling so calm while I'm in there, and, like, I could actually meditate for once, because it's very hard for me to focus in the city, and I'm, like, heavily empathic, so I feel all this stuff going on around me in this sensory input, and it, like, completely overloads me. Also, I'm on the autism spectrum, so there's, like, fucking double-pronged circuit right there. And I just found, like, the most peaceful meditation being out of society in, like, a natural place where, like, I was going and, like, writing up the, like, sticking up the candles that had knocked over and the statues that had fallen off. And it was, like, very peaceful and relaxing to not be in that environment. And I could understand why you would find peace and ease in places like that, because I still find it like that to this day. And I've been practicing for years and years and years, and I still don't have that kind of shielding to block everything out, you know?
Mm-hmm. So, oh, for sure. For sure.
I get you there.
But, yeah, sorry.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Yeah, it's just, it's always, I never considered myself a country person at all, but there is just something about quiet and about just being able to observe what's going on around you without, without, like, growing up, like, I'm from Philadelphia originally, and it's just, like, it's not, certain parts of the city are not the best parts. Any city, really, you can say that. And there is just a certain security and a certain comfort. Like, a lot of people would be like, oh, aren't you afraid of, like, bears or, like, wolves or, like, anything like that? Granted, there's not a lot of those in Pennsylvania. But,
gonna say.
Or Delaware. But, like, people, like, still have that that inbred kind of fear of a lot of people that I've interacted with have this inbred fear of the wild and going out, even if it's just in, like, in the forest in Pennypack Park. Like, yeah, they have, like, this apprehension about it. And I look
that's
at those,
the right word you're looking for.
Yes, apprehension. Exactly. Eventually get there. And yeah, and I look at those people and I'm like, it's the opposite for me. Like, I feel the most safest and the most calm in those areas. Mm-hmm. And walking down, I still, even driving, I don't like driving through, like, South Philly at night. That makes me feel uncomfortable and makes me lock my doors and roll up my windows. It's just, I've been kind of the opposite of a lot of people that I grew up around in that sense.
I'm completely different on that regard. When I'm out in nature, I know very much to respect it. I briefly mentioned I grew up in like rural Canada, but my hometown was 3,000 people.
Wow.
So we would literally get bears and cougars and the occasional moose coming right through the city. And like sometimes your friend's walking you home at night and there's a cougar coming across the bridge towards you and slinks off to the like the bush in front of you. And your friend's like, son of a bitch. And he goes for his sword because you like literally carry swords on you when you walk around. It's ridiculous. So like the cops don't even stop him when he's carrying his long sword and his Viking war shield. That's pretty great. But we're very used to like nighttime and nature being a space where you respect the animals and the nighttime predators and just the natural order of things, you know. Humans do best when we sleep, and everything in the natural world that doesn't want to mess with us leaves us alone because they know we're more trouble than we're worth. And upsetting that balance can bring trouble if you don't know how to take care of yourself, especially in nighttime, especially with big animals. And can bring like injury that say you fall down a bank and you lose your phone and it breaks. How do you call for help? You know, there's stuff like that. You need to be very careful. So I absolutely respect the nature and I will stay in it only during specific hours of light. And I will camp during the darkness because I know to pay it that respect. Cities, I'm a little weird. I don't know. I walk home at 3 a.m. sometimes from a dance party and I got like a knife in my pocket and got martial arts training. So I don't really worry about that as much. I'm more worried about like, I don't know, I used to be more worried about cops searching me for like weed when it was and I still smoked copious amounts. Other than that, I don't know, cities are generally pretty safe by comparison aside from like the drunken assholes. So I feel like as a trans girl though, I'm safer here as opposed to like small towns, you know. That's hard.
Speaking of which,
I'd like to segue into talking about queer identity and also eventually, which I should have asked first, what it is that you've been doing with the podcast so far. But before that, you want to talk about your how you identify, what pronouns you use, all that fun stuff that we do here.
Surely. So Can't talk when it comes to talking about myself. Jeez. So actually, just recently. So as I said, I've kind of gone through this very in the literal sense journey when it comes to my queer identity. When I first came out at the tender young age of 12, I came out as a lesbian. Swore off men at the young age of 12. I was like, screw men. I don't want nothing to do with them. And I guess I should also preface that up until very recently, within the past 4 or 5 months or so, I've always had an inkling. I do, identify as gender fluid. Even though obviously I know this doesn't matter. I present as very feminine. I know that my preferred pronouns are they, them. It just makes me more comfortable. It just makes me more comfortable when people use that. I am out to very limited amount of people. None of my family. Zero amount of my family.
Just make sure they don't see the podcast. Just don't be like posts on your Facebook feed or nothing.
I highly doubt. I honestly think my family would be more offended as me coming out as a witch than me coming out as gender fluid.
Well, let's not make it a double whammy.
Yeah, right, exactly. No. Let's, but, it wasn't until very recently that I did, I guess, come to the realization that gender fluid is more appropriate for me than obviously assigned female at birth, and that they them just made me feel way more comfortable than she her. I don't, as I said, I'm not out to a lot of people, so a lot of people still do use she her towards me. It obviously makes me more, it's funny, I would rather people use he, him towards me more than she, her. Now I'm like, I'll take that.
I have heard that from plenty of non-binary people, actually. Yeah.
It's like, so up until, as I said, I'm 28 up until about a couple of months ago, believed that I was, as I was assigned at birth, female. And on the queer, on the sexuality side of it, as I said, at 12, I came out as a lesbian. And then when I entered, it wasn't actually until my junior year of high school, so I was about 16 years old, I actually realized, I'm like, I guess men aren't that bad. Some of them are okay. And that definitely led to a lot of confusion. I thankfully I didn't have too much of a problem, I guess, coming out as a lesbian, because my mother was a lesbian. My father had a little bit of problems with it. And then when I realized, I was like, well, I like guys. Well, I had already been in a relationship with a woman at that point, and I was just like, well, what the hell does that make me? And that was obviously when I discovered what bi was, what bisexuality was. And I identified as bi from that time, from sophomore, junior year of high school, up until I would say somewhere after, I went to college twice, so it's kind of confusing. I dropped out of the college where I met Jay, and then I went back to college a couple years later. In between those two spans, I actually got involved with a trans woman. And I was just like, and at the time, my best friend, who I had all through high school, she actually came out as pansexual. And I was just like, well, what the heck is that? And I was like, I'm constantly learning things here. And I looked into it, and I was just like, oh, well, that makes sense. I don't care about gender when it comes to who I'm interested in. I don't care. Yeah. You can have whatever. Like, I don't, you identify as whatever you want to identify as, baby. Like, bless.
There you go.
I constantly make the joke, and I've actually shared it on my Facebook, that, I thought for a second, that, I was like, I had like a checklist. Like, I've been in a relationship with a cis woman. I've been in a relationship with a cis man. I've been in a relationship with a trans woman. Now I'm in a relationship with a trans man. I was like, I'm slowly on my way to collecting all the pansexual badges.
Yeah, I saw that meme.
Exactly.
So like, I'm polysexual, meaning I like multiple genders, not all. Just not cis boys. But just, I'm never getting into cis boys ever again. I tried it. Not for me. It's not for them. I'm thinking, y'all, God bless y'all, but like, I ain't, not in my life, okay?
No, I get it. I get it.
Everybody else, you're great. You can come on in. I'll call myself a lesbian as a defense mechanism so that guys leave me alone, but other than that, you know,
exactly. Oh my God, that's too funny. No, honestly, I constantly make this joke, to Jay now, and he finds it hilarious as well. I was like, I don't think I could ever go back to cis men now. I don't think I can do that. I don't know. But, that's my journey of both, my gender identity and my sexuality. It makes me laugh, not so much laugh, but that people think both gender and sexuality are such static things, And mm-hmm. it's not. It's really, when they say it's a spectrum, I am the embodiment of that. I feel yeah. like it really is, and it can change, and it can flow, and it's such a thing that can change from day to day, hour to hour, minute to minute kind of thing, and who are we to put boundaries on that kind of thing?
Yeah, definitely. And, like, that's something I've like, had that conversation with my family. I've said, you know, mm-hmm. At the time, I'm currently not interested in men. Doesn't mean that, like, if I met the perfect guy and we clicked, I wouldn't necessarily be into him. Like, mm-hmm. I always have room for what I'm feeling and where I'm going and where I'm moving in my life. And I'd be an absolute damn fool to turn down someone just because of their gender being wrong and everything mm-hmm. else is telling me they're right, you know? So, like, I always give myself space to grow as I need to. But also, like, pay homage to where I'm at and, like, say it for what it is, you know, and, like, work it out, because that's how you make any damn progress, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. No, for sure. But yeah, it's definitely, as I said, especially when it comes to my, gender identity, that is still something. I'm green in all sense of in all senses of the word.
Fresh hashtag.
That, yes, yes, exactly. And it's something that I'm still trying to become more comfortable in, I guess. It's a shame I don't I'm sure if I look back I can find pictures. But even like back in high school I had hair down, like, in a ponytail down to my butt. Like, I had extremely long hair, and I always, always valued my extremely long hair, and then obviously, as you guys can tell, I've shaved it all off, just because in the sake of feeling more comfortable in myself, and I guess my ultimate end goal is to appear more androgynous and everything like that, and all that jazz. Not to get off topic.
No, I think that's right on topic, because we've been talking about your identity, so
exactly
that's part of the course.
In terms of I guess I've said what my goals are for my identity. My sexuality is pretty set in stone, and I don't see that. Who knows? I don't see that changing, but you never know. In terms of, I guess, in the witchcraft sense, to branch off of that, what I'm seeking and what I hope to, I guess, achieve, is I have, going back to my background and growing up and not realizing what I was experiencing was normal. I don't like using that word, but if that's what you can say, normal is, my hope is, because I'm so attuned to other things, but I have no control over what I see and what I hear and what I feel. And that can, now as being older, it's not as jarring as much anymore. Obviously, when I was younger, it was petrified me, mm-hmm. And scared the ever-living daylights out of me. Not to be over dramatic, but when you're 7 years old and you wake up and you're experiencing sleep paralysis and you don't know what sleep paralysis is, and you see something standing in your doorway and you're like, what the hell?
It's weird. Go ahead.
And you have no idea what that is. Mm-hmm. It's terrifying. And I still, 2 decades later, experience these things, and I have no control, and I'm just kind of at the whimsy of whoever, whatever,
yeah,
wants to talk to me or make themselves appear to me. And I'm like,
Well, we'll get you right set with all that.
Yeah,
what I was going to say before I so rudely accidentally interrupted
that
it's weird how it's such a universal experience is for people to have sleep paralysis who then later get into magic as like an explanation of what the fuck is this when you hear like the typical explanation for it and you're like, that ain't right. Some just don't with you and you got to go and look it up and then next thing you know you're fucking chasing your own tail down this trail and fucking doing tarot cards and having salt cleansing baths and shit.
But yeah, it was a very long conversation that I had with Jay in the wee hours of the morning, and I kind of gave him a whole background on experiences that I went through as a kid, and one that stood out in particular, and that I still am still trying to figure out and still doing research into, is when I lived I've moved a lot, but the one house where I lived with my mother and her wife, I lived in that house for a significant period of time, probably from the age of 6 to the age of 22, basically, in and out. I lived in that house, and every single night would have the same exact dream. Every single night for 16 years.
What was the dream?
So it would be, it would seem like I would wake up, but I knew I was dreaming. Very weird. It's very weird it's very hard to explain. I would wake up and think I was awake laying in my bed, and how my bedroom was set up was my bed was pressed up against the wall, the one wall, and the door was directly in front of me. And I would wake up and I would be stuck in bed. I couldn't get out of bed. And my door would be open and there would be this figure standing in the door. I know it was humanoid, but that was about the only thing I could make out.
You gotta banish that shit. You gotta banish that shit. God damn it.
I know, and the house is currently, I know, the house is currently on the market right now. My mother is actually trying to sell that house, and I was just like, I've talked to Jay about this. I was like, we need to go, like, I don't want to, but we need to go into that house and figure out what the heck it is and get rid of it, because I can't imagine some poor family with a little kid buying that house and putting their kid in that bedroom and that poor kid going through what I had to go through.
True. Now, here's what I think about that. Mm-hmm. If it's going to be a harder banish because there's nobody currently living in the house. Mm-hmm. And like, if the house is vacuous, it's easier for something to fill it up. And if it's already got spirits there, mm-hmm. it's already got a tie to the other side. Mm-hmm. It's like a hard thing to try and block off. It's a lot easier to like set aside a space and be like, this is our home. You cannot come in, that we will not compromise and make your energy. It's a whole nother level of hard to like try and get a vacuous space like that to be completely emptied, because God help you, that's not an easy challenge. No. If anything, I would set like restrictions so that stuff of malicious intent can't come in. Mm-hmm. You know, that would probably be the best that I would try to shoot for. And technically, you know, you could do anything with magic, but I'm also extremely a realist, and I observe whether or not my spells have success or failure, and I like record it and I work my way up and I know what I'm capable of, and I know that's a fucking difficult spell to do, you know?
Yo, yeah, oh, for sure.
Just some little witch tips.
I can't even begin to imagine, and I know whatever it is tied to that house, because once I moved out of that house, the dream stopped.
Yeah, it's wild how many like of us grow up in haunted houses or have haunting experiences, and it definitely affects a person in a lot of ways.
Most definitely. And that's just I can't even. It's kind of a morbid curiosity. Why I want to go back in there is just to see if maybe I can suss out everything that's in there, because I know it's not. That's just one, that particular, whatever you want to call it, entity, figure, whatever it may be.
You used that word that I used to use, entity. That keeps me out.
I know that's just one example of what is in that house. I know there is multiple things in that house that I have personally experienced, that my mother has experienced, that my stepmother, her partner, has experienced.
Well, don't go it alone and bring the whole cast of Scott and Jay got, because that ain't a one witch task right there.
No, you can do
a lot more at the coven than you can as a solitary practitioner like me.
Yes, yeah, no. This is like a me and a Jay and a Scott and maybe like Scott's partner and like whoever else we can rope in. Most definitely, it is not a solid no. I couldn't even begin to. I wouldn't even know where to start.
Yeah, pretty much. So to segue onto another topic, what is it that you currently do with Witches Betwixt? Because I know that you've been working with us for some time now, but I don't want to go in detail what your job is, and I'd rather leave that up to you. So would you care to fill everybody in on what it is that you've been doing?
Of course. So I have been here behind the scenes from the very beginning. I know it doesn't seem like a lot, but I know this isn't technically episode 14.
It's the in between.
In between 14. Oh my God.
Boom. Look at that. Marketing in a nutshell.
So we are in between episodes 13 and 14. So that's a pretty decent amount of time every other week, biweekly, shall we say. And I was there from the conception and supported Jay and thought it was a fantastic idea, and I love both Jay and Scott. And so how I joined the crew is, Jay is very good at social media and so is Scott. But I noticed the one thing they were lacking was a Reddit. And for those of you who don't know, Reddit is literally, they go by the moniker, the front page of the internet. Anything you could possibly want to look at, research, read about, is probably on Reddit. everything from cute cat pictures to recipes to news articles to politicians have entire pages. So they can interact. Yeah, they subreddit so they can interact with their constituents and their celebrities use it to interact with their fan bases and stuff like that. So I had actually started a subreddit before and never really took off. That was I called it Nerdy Ents, because I realized I was like, there's no subreddit for people who partake in the marijuanas and that also like video games. So I started a subreddit. Didn't really take off. So, but I realized now that I had that they really had Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and all of that kind of down pat. Neither Jay nor Scott really knew that much about Reddit, and I was like, I've been browsing Reddit for God way too long, like 6-7 years or something like that. I've been interacting with Reddit, and I was just like, I could start a subreddit for the podcast. That is, it's very easy to find. I'm sure I'll make Jay put it down in the notes. Reddit.com/r/witchesbetwixt, and what I do is me along with Jay and Scott were moderators on the page, and it originally started out as a place to post discussion threads for the podcast, because I know me personally, anytime I watch something like TV or movies or YouTube videos or listen to a podcast, after I'm done, like having a platform platform to discuss what I just watched or what I just learned with other people who share similar interests, like, that's just, like, that's kind of, like, crack to me. It's just, like, it's so much fun to me to have other people to interact with and to share, like, well, this is what I pulled from this and blah, 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 blah. So I wanted to create a kind of platform because we all know YouTube comments and comments on other certain social medias can tend to gravitate towards the negative. And I'm not saying Reddit doesn't gravitate towards the negative because, oh, boy, can it.
It's a large part of modern media marketing.
Yeah, exactly. There's that negativity that you're always just going to encounter. But with creating a subreddit and enacting moderators, you can get rid of those bitches and make sure there is no negativity on your little section of the internet.
Well, I mean, negativity and criticism's okay, but no Nazis are allowed or
No Nazis, no TERFs, no no fascists, no none of those. Please just leave it alone. I don't want
no racists, no
racists,
bigots,
no none of those. No homophobes, no transphobes,
garbage.
No.
You just take your toxic garbage off to, like, Mars and make a toxic garbage planet or something by yourself because nobody wants any of that shit anywhere near us.
Damn straight. Exactly. So, as I said, I post weekly every time, or I shouldn't say weekly, bi-weekly, discussion threads whenever a podcast is uploaded. I take all the links and I make a little post on Reddit that is open for anybody that has a Reddit account to go on and comment. They can view the YouTube video. They can listen to the podcast on Buzzsprout, and share their thoughts and whatever on that comment thread. And everybody can reply back, and people can upvote ideas that they like and downvote ideas that they don't like, and all that stuff. Unfortunately, it hasn't taken off quite yet. I think once our audience grows a little bit more, it'll be a little bit more active. What I've also done in regards to the subreddit recently is actually posting some stuff of my own, just in the witchy queer category, I guess you can say. Just sharing, like, funny pictures or other different types of media. So there's that in that regard. I do brainstorm a lot with Jay on different topics for the podcast. Actually, I think one that we want to do, we had in the past, and that I think is still on the list of possible things, is having. Obviously, this is before we brought the lovely Sophia on. I don't know if you have a partner or not, if you're seeing anyone currently.
That is a curse that I could speak an entire episode for. I, my friend, have been single for over a year and a half. I will have you heard.
I understand completely, because it was like a 4-year spell before I met Jay.
What is wrong with me?
So trust me.
Just
Nicole,
kidding.
I
know my problems. I know my shit. It's okay. I know exactly what's wrong with me, and I'm actively working on it.
But we had this idea of.
I push people away because I'm afraid of affection.
Girl, preach. Preach.
It's a complex. I could talk about it on, like, a whole episode. I could talk about it for my segment of the upcoming episode about mental health that we were supposed to film today.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
Crazy how mental health can get in the way of in recording a mental health podcast, as well as, you know, actual life shit happening.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Tell me about it. I guess it's kind of poetic justice, but yeah, be sure to stay tuned to that. Because hopefully we can have all four of us together for that one, because between the four of us, I think we basically have the spectrum of mental illness covered.
Maybe. I don't know. There's a lot of things out there.
Like,
I know exactly what my shit is. I can't speak for all y'all, but unless you got a lot of diagnoses, then That'd be a long stretch.
It'd be a very long. But that should definitely be a an interesting episode that will be coming up once everything is a little bit more calm here.
Well, I'd like to add that it probably won't be a calm episode, just for all those listening. There's going to be like trigger warnings we're going to have on we're going to actually probably record a separate introduction after the episode's done to list off trigger warnings, because it's the only way you can actually let a conversation like that flow organically. It's probably going to be some tears. We're going to talk about our personal life and a lot of shit. So, like, I understand entirely if that's not someone's jam.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
you got stuff to deal with and you don't want to hear other people's stuff, then my friend, please do not feel the need to engage with that, because it's going to be a heavy episode. But that said, mental health is something very real that affects a lot of us, especially queer and trans people who are in the witchcraft community or, you know, any type of marginalized person. You're going to have a lot of mental health just from living in a world that treats you like shit, you know? You're going to have a lot of shit to deal with. And it's never easy. And I think that it's an extremely important discussion for us to all have and all be present for. And it's going to be a lot.
Oh, it's going to be a lot. Oh, for sure. Buckle
the fuck up, Batman.
I'm going to have a box of tissues right here. I'm a very easy crier, so that's... Oh, boy.
I'm Virgo's sun, so I look like I'm professional and all put together, but really I'm a Cancer moon, so I'm an emotional wreck anytime the camera's not off me. Or, like, not on me.
Yeah, right. For reals, for reals. You would think, I don't know both signs, but I do know I am a Taurus, and you would think that would mean I would be less emotionless, like less emotional, I guess you would say. But actually, yeah,
I have a lot of Taurus in my life, including my mother, and y'all are emotional. Y'all just don't know how the hell to show it sometimes.
Yeah, right, exactly. We're very in the one sense as a bull, very quick to anger. It doesn't
take offense or be defensive.
Yes. Speaking of, I swear to God, I'm not crying right now. It's just my eyes watering. I swear.
I think that wraps up a lot of what we were talking about, and it's good to get to introduce you.
Yes.
I also personally heavily regret not actually doing myself a proper introduction when I, like, joined the podcast on the first episode. Because I'm like, well, I kind of don't like giving a long detailed thing about me, because as someone who's read enough magic books and had to, like, read through these extremely crotchety introductions of, like, I am the fourth degree in the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn, and I've achieved it through 16 years of study, and Tom and Bill and George over here can attest to my value as an occultist. And it's like, it's just all this padding that doesn't need to be there. Like, to quote Terrence McKenna, if it's good, I think it can take the pressure. You know what I mean? If your practice and your working has any level of solidity, it can take the pressure of being challenged, and what bends or breaks should give you a new product instead of just a broken system. You can incorporate those views, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, I don't know. That's just, like, my little tangent about it.
No, it's all good. It's all good, honey. It's all good. I'm sorry. Like, I don't know why the heck my allergies decided right now to act up and cause me to look like a hot mess, probably.
There's been a lot of interruption with this episode. It's Mercury retrograde right now. You know, two people couldn't be here.
Going wrong.
We didn't have a script for this. We had to, like, ad hoc the entire episode. I've never done an interview in my life. I'm just over here winging it, just seeing what happens. You know, I like kind of half forgot what I was talking about 2 minutes ago in that little spiel before I trailed off. Whatever, I'm gonna be going somewhere. It's fine. We're good. This is how you podcast. Yeah, totally. You get better. Learn.
Totally. This is going to be the highest viewed, highest listened to podcast in the entire series. No offense to Jay and Scott, and I'm joking.
Ooh, I'm pretty sure our mental health episode is going to be the one, because that one's going to be fucking the one where we bare our hearts. But so one thing I'd like to point out before we wrap this up, Joyce and I are doing a tarot reading for them because Joyce is one of our Patreon subscribers. I believe it's a $5 and up tier, and you get a free reading each month. Now, I can't always be doing video calls, but we were tossing around the idea of, if people are willing, doing a recording of one of our divination sessions and putting it on as Patreon-exclusive content. So when you subscribe to Patreon, you get to see the videos of our different divination styles, because, you know, a reading from me is not going to look the same as a reading from Jay or a reading from Scott. But we're definitely going to get on those and send them out monthly. And I'm going to do kind of a half reading with Joyce, because I've already drawn the cards and done the rune and read up on it myself. I just didn't type that up because I'd rather actually talk about it in person. So you won't see like my full-blown ritual of casting a circle and drawing my cards and what have you. But you will get to see us discussing the cards and some chill out after content where we let loose, maybe have a glass of wine, and we're going to start doing more after episode recordings too for Patreon content. So stay tuned, and if you're interested, sign on up. It can't hurt, and you don't have to stay forever.
Exactly. And honestly, when it comes to the Patreon, if $5 a month, I understand that can be a huge commitment for a lot of people. Patreon start at just $1 a month, and you would think, oh, $1 a month, like that's nothing, but it goes such a long way and really helps out. It helps out Jay. It helps out the whole podcast.
Oh, absolutely.
And really, it would be an absolute pleasure and an absolute just the hugest of thanks to anybody who would want to support the podcast in that matter. And you also get access to all kinds of cool stuff like our readings and other I have talked to Jay about being involved with the Patreon as well, and all other sorts of really cool content and live streams and all that kind of cool stuff. So links will be down in the description below if that's something that you're interested in. I also on the subreddit that we were talking about, I always link to the Patreon. So if that's something that you guys are interested in, that would be awesome.
And just to say, it does start as low as $1, but the $5 is worth it, because those readings definitely take longer than an hour to set up, do, interpret, and type out. So you're getting a bang for your buck. I don't think you can get $5 tarot readings at many places. Someone who's been practicing for a while. It's a good steal.
For sure. But I think we've been at this for a little while. We're going to do our reading. And I just want to say thank you so much to the lovely Sophia for spending this time with me and introducing me to this lovely community. And I can't wait to talk to you guys some more.
Yeah. And thank you for being here and the work you've done up to this point. And glad to get to talk to you finally and actually get to have a conversation. So thanks for coming on, and it's been a pleasure.
Thank you, and until next time. Bye, guys.
Ciao.
Hello, everyone. Scott here. I've been reading tarot for over 10 years. I am an intuitive reader, and through my readings, I try to give guidance to aid my clients in navigating their lives. To schedule a reading with me, you can find me on Facebook at Witchwise Seer and Witch. You can also find me over on Instagram and Tumblr with the handle Witchwise, spelled WYTCHWYSE. You can find links to all of my social media in the show notes. I hope to hear from you.